This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Chocolate milk, the drink of champions and the drink of choice. Bryson DeChambeau, the 2024 U.S. Open winner. It's fun to watch it down the stretch. I know it wasn't fun for Rory McIlroy, who was slumped over the table. I know it was a meme. Any time nowadays that an athlete doing something, either in the course of defeat, the course of victory, or if it's just viral and it's funny, people take it and run with it. Now you had a
let me tell you, Rory leaned in on that table, his fate no longer in his hands. He looked, and I can tell you this is fact, after this weekend being at Derek's wedding, he looked as uncomfortable as rented shoes. I mean, he knew when that ball came up 4 feet short below the hole, he was done, and he looked extremely uncomfortable when they cut the camera to him. As uncomfortable, as I said, as rented shoes.
Rented shoes, yeah. I'm a
ever rented shoes,
pretty uncomfortable.
Chuck?
That's pretty uncomfortable.
It was pretty uncomfortable this weekend. Hey, Hot Take Monday, that's one of my hot takes, brought to you by Wheels RV. We're celebrating Dad all June long, so you've got more time to get in on Father's Day savings, disconnect from the world, and get back to family and friends with the gift of camping. They've got great exclusive discounts and bonus offers all month long on the entire inventory at Wheels RV. We're talking Brinkley, Grand Design, and Forest River. Hey, make Father's Day one he'll never forget. I know it was yesterday, but it's not too late. Get by Wheels RV, 5 miles west of exit 72, off of I-49 in Springdale, and start your journey to endless summer memories.
Speaking of uncomfortable, I do need to disclose this, even though I probably shouldn't. I had not realized that I had met Amanda before this weekend, Tommy. When she came up, when her and Derek came up to me, and then obviously they're meeting all the tables and saying hi to everyone, shook her hand. It's like, hey, I'm Ty. It's like, oh, yeah, we met at the Garth Brooks concert.
You know, it's understandable based on where you were at that night, why you wouldn't remember.
But, the whole thing about a wedding is don't take the bride off. And I don't think it made her mad, but it definitely wasn't like a good thing. So I felt
trust
bad.
Me as being behind the scenes.
You gotta
scenes.
Learn how to cover, man. You gotta learn how to cover.
I couldn't.
I do remember that now.
Yeah. I can't lie. I don't know. I fell in.
You were dancing around having a great time. That's always a safe line at a concert.
That is true.
But it was in the parking lot, Ty. I fell into the same problem, and my retort was, well, you're even more beautiful now than you were then.
In Pert, yeah.
Boom.
See, that's a quick one liner. I probably should have used that. But it wasn't as bad as I made it out to be. But
wonderful wedding.
It was. I was sulking at the time. Hopefully we'll have a good game five tonight featuring the Dallas Mavericks and the Boston Celtics in Boston. I hope that this game moves on. In fact, it's one of my hot takes is, guys, I think that Dallas is somehow, some way, even though they have not played good in Boston, particularly Kyrie Irving, I think they're going to win tonight. Now, to follow it up, as hot as this is, not only do I think they're going to win tonight, but they're going to lose game six in Dallas as dumb as that sounds, I have a feeling it's going to happen. As weird as that is, you just never know about NBA Finals games. But I think this series is going to be extended after tonight. I got Dallas winning later on tonight.
You know, you were talking earlier, you were asking earlier about how, you know, do you keep watching college baseball after your team's out, after the Razorbacks are eliminated? I do. But the NBA is a sport where when my team's done, I'm done.
You're done.
This has been a terrible series in terms of competition, number one. They took 2 weeks off before they played it, and everybody lost the interest anyway.
Yep.
And Boston's just a whole lot better than Dallas. Now, you may be right. Dallas may win this game, but I wouldn't bet a nickel on it.
I will say it was cool on game four, which was a blowout loss and not a game I would say that just draw a lot of attention because Dallas just smacked him. Daniel Gaffer was mic'd up.
I'm low! Sit him down! Sit him down! And one! Ready for everything. I'm talking backside. Luka, play up. Luka, invert it. Low man!
Chuck, I realize that he's not the biggest star in the series, but there's been a lot of national attention that's been paid to Daniel these last few weeks. And I love it because he seems like a kid that you can root for, not just because he's a Razorback, but just based on some of the comments that he's made these last few weeks.
Well, the best thing that's happened to Daniel Gafford was being traded from Washington to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing all this in Washington. He was just playing on a bad team. And nobody knew what he was doing because they didn't ever win. Now, I have to say this, though, and I'm pulling for the Mavericks. They act like they won Game 7.
Yeah.
I mean, they won. They're down 3-1. This is not uncommon for the team that's down 3-0 to just beat the pants off the team that's up 3-0 in Game 4 and avoid the sweep. I'm not a hockey fan, but the Florida Panthers are about to win the Stanley Cup. They went up 3-0 on Edmonton, and Edmonton just beat them, I think, 6-1 in Game 4. Well, now, does that mean that, you know, the Florida Panthers aren't going to win the Stanley Cup? No. Does Dallas win in Game 4 mean Boston's not going to win the series? Absolutely not. So, I mean, it's nice, I guess, to have them win. As I say, I was pulling for them, but they have no chance to win this
year. And I think it's, like we said, with college baseball. So we still got college baseball. For now, we've still got the NBA Finals. We just had the U.S. Open this weekend. But, Tommy, I'm also just rooting for it to give us something to talk about because we'll have football to talk about for the next 70-plus days. But we don't have anything like concrete in front of us once the College World Series concludes.
Yeah, I mean, we'd all banked on having some Razorback baseball to talk about till at least this point. And obviously,
they just ruined it for everybody.
Exactly. Didn't Dave Van Horn know our show content depended on their success? How dare he?
We got to get that runner moved up. I'm going to ruin their show for 2 months. Yeah.
They did. Speaking of Dave, there was
you couldn't ruin it anymore, but he made the challenge a little steeper every morning.
Yeah. So baseball got two commits over the weekend, and football team got another two commits. I'm trying to find these real quick, but yeah, they had some guys that just because we were waiting on like. Vahiva's little brother committed. He's from BYU. And I think a kid from Milwaukee. And there's one other kid that had commit. And then football got a defensive lineman out of Georgia and then a kid out of Texas that are both on the defensive line. So you had four recruiting stories that came out.
And you've clearly followed it closer than I have because the weekend was a little busy. But I still don't think has anyone entered the portal for baseball? I mean, what update me on that?
I should
know, but I don't. But I think that's an important point in this conversation, Chuck, is not like there's a mass exodus, you know, that you expect leaving other teams. That doesn't happen with baseball.
Well, because there's only, you know, 14 or 15 other teams that you're competing with for that. You don't see, for example, a baseball player, I'm going to transfer out and go to Colorado like you do in football. The good players are playing at the elite SEC programs, which means if they transfer out, it's because they're not playing and they're going to a smaller place to get to play. And you weren't going to play those guys anyway. Good players are going to stay because, frankly, I mean, what are they going to do? Go transfer to Tennessee or go transfer to somewhere else? I mean, I think you're going to generally keep the good players that you have. Now, if you look at this closely, the guys that they've gotten in from the portal, look at the stolen bases. Look at the ability
doubles.
To run.
Mm-hmm.
All the things we talked about when they lost in the regional, the balance to the lineup, the way they're addressing that, just like Dave said they would.
We love to criticize Texas A&M Aggies on this program. We're going to do that coming up. There are two fans that stood out amongst the many, and we'll tell you why next.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of their over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BLEAVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, our Morning Rush daily question brought to you by Red River Dodge will center around the U.S. Open and how it finished yesterday. And the question is pretty straightforward. Did Bryson DeChambeau win the U.S. Open, or did Rory McIlroy lose it? I think it's a matter of perspective, and you could argue either side. Ty, I'll start with you. Did Rory lose this thing, or did Bryson DeChambeau win the U.S. Open?
So I think you and I were talking this morning before the show how, again, Rory started at minus four that day. Bryson was at minus seven. They finished minus six and minus five. But if you look during the course of how Rory came on, got hot, Bryson was wavering a little bit with just, I don't know how he won, honestly, with all the bad drives he had, but somehow he escaped despite that, even that bunker shot. I don't know how you come away with saying that Bryson won it when Rory indeed lost it. And I think why that's the case is because you almost have to combine not just this event, but what's happened for him over the course of the last 10 years. I know that's not fair to him, but that's what most people do. What do we talk about? First thing off the bat this morning, the drought. Not necessarily, oh, Bryson was unbelievable. We talked about how Rory's drought continues. That's kind of the perspective I have.
Chuck?
There's certainly the fan narrative that the, that's the narrative that, you know, Rory can't win a major anymore. I think Bryson won it with a bunker shot. He hit a bad drive. He, popped it across the fairway dribbled it across the fairway, got it into the bunker. I think he won it when he hit the bunker shot. How many people really thought Bryson was going to par that hole?
Not
after
me.
That tee shot?
Not me.
I thought we were going to a playoff, and I think most people did. So Bryson won the tournament with that bunker shot, despite all the things that happened. I mean, Bryson, he did not improve his overall score yesterday, and Rory did. Rory made it a match with that birdie on one. I mean, you could tell right away he was in it to win it. And so I would say Bryson won it.
I would tend to agree based on the bunker shot, but also the particularly down the back nine, time after time. And I don't know why he kept pulling driver, because that's how Bryson DeChambeau does it. But he couldn't find a fairway to save his life.
And they're professional golfers.
Yeah.
When we hit it out of the fairway, it's disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When a professional golfer hits it out of the fairway, they're trying to figure out a way to save par. And a lot of times they can.
The 72nd hole was feet from being disaster. I mean, he barely had an angle, and he'd have gotten relief maybe if he'd have went a little further and had line of sight relief. But I tend to agree with you, Chuck, that bunker shot changed my way of thinking on it, because up until that point, Rory's two short missed putts. And I don't think we value how difficult that putt on the 72nd for Rory brutal. Is. Above the hole, breaking across.
Television does not do it justice on the up and down stuff.
And then you add the pressure of, the U.S. Open's on the line here. I just don't think we really understand. Even those listening that play golf weekly don't understand the pressure of that moment coupled with the difficulty of that putting line. So I tend to agree. Bryson won it, but this one's going to haunt Rory for a long, long time.
Yeah, I do want to go back. Chuck, you were dead on about the sand shot because that was wonderful.
Good contact.
Caucus Long ran up there. Right below the hole goes DeChambeau, and he's pumped up.
See,
the key words in that were right below the hole.
Yes, sir.
Rory was above the hole.
Mm-hmm.
If you're scoring in professional golf, if you're trying to score, you got to keep the ball below the hole because that way you can make a run at it, even if it's a long putt. But the key there was that's what made the bunker shot perfect was it didn't go past the hole.
And in that situation, let's say he just hits a marginal sand shot out of the bunker. Is there really any belief that he can even save bogey the way those greens are?
He would have saved bogey if he'd gotten it relatively close. Mm-hmm. I think he would have saved bogey. I think they'd have gone to a playoff.
Yeah, but I was settled in for the playoff and not
I was too. Everybody was.
Yeah.
And that's why I say he won it there.
And I don't think TV or the commentators in this case really did justice to the difficulty and the length of that bunker shot. I think one of the hardest shots in golf is not the fairway bunker shot where you put a different club on it, but that lengthy, long 50-yard plus greenside bunker shot to another level of the green. I know these guys are pros, but that's still a difficult shot.
Two things would have happened. One of two things would have happened if the average guy, myself included, had been hitting that shot. Either one, it wouldn't have made it out of the bunker, or I'd have hit it thin and it had gone over the clubhouse. One of those two things would have happened. And
in the forehead.
For him to hit that shot in the manner in which he did, leave it below the hole, that was a perfect bunker shot. In a world where perfect is overused, that was a perfect bunker shot.
All right, that's your Morning Rush Daily Question. It is brought to you by Red River Dodge in Heber Springs. They're Arkansas's number one Ram dealer. Log on at redriverdodge.com.
This hour of Chuck Barrett on the Morning Rush is presented by Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Professional people, professional service. Schedule your service appointment today at gopascal.com.
So sometimes in sports, fans that are in attendance at any event go too far. And Arkansas fans are not immune to this. I mean, I don't think anything like this has happened. For those that don't know, tragedy occurred for the Florida baseball team recently when their bat boy by the name of Brody Reinhardt was murdered by his actually own father, of all things, him and his brother. Apparently, according to reports, his dad just lost his job, going through a divorce, and doesn't excuse, obviously, what he did. But two Texas A&M fans were yelling obscenities and other things towards the Florida dugout this weekend during the course of A&M's 3-2 win over the Gators. And they were forcibly removed by security. And then after the fact, when it kind of found out when the details came out, the Omaha Police Department Association says, heckling an opposing baseball team about the tragic death of their bat boy is unacceptable. Glad our officers and security threw this dude out of Charles Schwab Field. You are no longer welcome in the city, and you shall be banned from life for future College World Series events. I think what was so distasteful to me is they, again, are doing it in the midst of this, and then as they're walking up, they're doing like the gig-em to all the fans, and yet you watch the Texas A&M fans as these guys are leaving, they're like ashamed as these guys are getting escorted all the ballpark, which I'll commend them for, but guys, that was awful. This weekend.
You know, they caught it live on ESPN. I was watching the game, and I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that their fans were right there at the dugout. They happened to do it just directly above the photo well. And so that's why there's all the video and all the still shots, and it's why ESPN went to it on the telecast as it was happening and showed them being escorted out. It's because all the photographers were like 2 feet away from them. when they were doing it. I don't know what precipitated all this. I have no idea. That was the statement that you read was from the police union, their police officers association. It wasn't from the department itself. So it's not really an official statement of the department. It's an official statement of their police association, which is their union of officers. I'm not disagreeing with it at all, just for the record. But it was just really weird the way it all went down. And of course, I'm sure alcohol had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, you mentioned the ESPN. Let's just go listen to kind of in what happened.
Just one challenge. Yeah. So do you want to burn or risk burning your second and last one in the second?
He's out.
I think he's out.
Yeah, he is out.
What's going on at the dugout?
Yeah, now there's some barking.
Get out of here.
Whoa. That's the Florida dugout right on the outskirts of it. And security personnel steps in.
So hopefully that situation handled. But it doesn't appear like we are getting a challenge. No.
Almost like they lost the attention over whether they should even challenge the play.
It's very rare, and you kind of mentioned where they were, Chuck. It's very rare that you have ESPN or any network for that matter during the course of a baseball game that intentionally singles out a fan. But evidently there was enough of a ruckus where you had, it looked like Kevin O'Sullivan kind of looking at him. I don't know if he said anything to him, but
they crossed the line. I mean, you've heard it all. If you've coached, you've played, you've reffed, Chuck, you've sat at the table long enough. You've heard every insult. You've heard every phrase. You've heard it all, Chuck, just like I have being out on that floor. But whatever they said about the tragic death of that crosses the line. And those are the things that grab your attention, even in the focus of the moment of playing or broadcasting a fish. That's to me, I wasn't there, but that's my opinion of what happened, having been nearby moments like that where someone says something so egregious, so across the line, it captures all of your attention, Chuck.
Most of the time when something like that happens, it's the fans that police it. They're the ones that draw attention to the person and say, get this guy out of here. And that's kind of what happened there. I mean, if you watch the video of it, and I mean, we played the audio there, you've really got to see it to get the full appreciation for it. It was obvious that, you know, they had drawn the attention of other people. And when security finally got there, there was no question those guys were out. And look, they were drunk. I mean, let's just be honest. They were drunk. And I'm sure that's what happened.
And even Jim Schlossnagel having to apologize. I mean, if you're a coach in that situation, credit to him for, again, doing that. But that's not his realm of responsibility.
Some people will say anything. Some people feel like the fact that they bought a ticket or paid whatever it is they have to pay to be there entitles them to say whatever they want. And a lot of times that's true. You know, you get away with saying lots of things that if somebody was standing right in front of you, you'd never say, because you're going to take a punch in the mouth. But people feel entitled to do that, and sometimes they do cross the line. Lots of times they cross the line, nothing happens. But that time they crossed the line, as you said, so egregiously, it was like, well, we got to do something about these people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm glad they did.
And that's what ruins it for the rest of us that just want to go and enjoy the games. It's becoming increasingly more difficult to enjoy games, I feel like, when I go to a game, buy a ticket, sit in the stands, because there's always seemingly seated somewhere nearby the idiot that...
Well, you have kids. The difference for you, and you always talk about that, and you're 100% right, especially on Father's Day weekend of all things. This doesn't bother me because I don't have kids around, and I've heard, like, maybe I haven't heard it all like Chuck has being on the sidelines or whatever, but I've heard some egregious thing being said for fans. That doesn't bother me. But as a father...
It's because it's not being said to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not just...
Because you're the one saying it. I mean...
Well, that's true.
My point is that when you're on that side of the fence, it's easy to not be bothered by it.
But I even...
Because it's not directed at you.
At you, yeah.
A couple years ago, Arkansas-Alabama game, kids not there. Me and Laura and another couple went to the game, and it was fans all around us wanting to argue and nearly come to blows with each other over coaching strategies. Are you kidding me? You know, or every down they're holding, or the offensive coordinator's an idiot, or everybody needs to be fired. They ruin the experience, and that's what people don't realize. You're not just having your fun; you're ruining the day in many cases over the course of 3+ hours for everyone around you.
It all feeds off itself. the price of admission, all the things, everything feeds off itself. Price of tickets, you know, the tailgating, the consumption of, you know, alcohol, and it all feeds off itself. Every one of those things feeds off the other. Yeah. And that ends up too often in situations like, you know, what we saw at the College World Series. But those guys obviously went to a level that most people don't go to. And they're famous. Well, I'll give them that. Yeah. They're famous.
I'll say, you know, you wonder why premium seats cost so much. I think there's as much a reason that people want the premium seat, not just to have their own buffet and booze,
to get
away from the idiots that act like many do in the stands now. I mean, when you go to suites and the rare occasion, you don't encounter this type of fan behavior.
Well, I'm not going to blame the commoners because I've seen some pretty bad stuff in the expensive seats too. But there's a point to be made that there are. That's why some ballparks have family sections. Yeah. That's because people are trying to get away from that. Your point in that regard is very well made.
JT in Hot Springs, guys, just said people are idiots and ruin everything. Yeah. And he texted that in on him.
Well, just generally speaking, we all feel, you know, entitled to be the worst version of ourselves when we pay a whole bunch of money and go to a ball game. I mean, it's just how we are. I'm not casting stones. I'm just saying that for whatever reason, we have given ourselves permission to be at our absolute worst when we go to a ball game.
But if you walked into the bank on a Monday morning and and act that way towards the performance of the loan officer, how long would it take the city police to be down there and drag you out?
How much of an interest rate are they?
Look,
if
you fill out that form, you moron!
If you'd lose 10 pounds, you could get from that office to the other one a lot quicker. I mean, all this stuff.
I mean, if you acted that way,
you'd never get away with that.
Exactly. So, I mean, I get it. But 98% of the entertainment when you go to a game should be on the court or the field. Not in the stands.
Maybe those A&M fans should have been taking in chocolate milk like Bryson this weekend instead of whatever they were drinking.
But, you know, anyway, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
Oh, you are exactly right. So that's what happened in Omaha, Nebraska this weekend between that. There have been plenty of great games. That kind of overshadowed, to a certain extent, the great games that we did have. And hopefully tonight and moving forward, we have some other good games continuing on in college baseball. Chuck, you mentioned a phrase there, feeding off one another. That has been something that Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are attached at the hip for one another, and will probably be for the majority of their career, which I think is good. For those that...
It's not Bird and Magic, but it's similar.
No, yeah.
Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali.
That's the comparison. But you could make a case. It's the most talked about. I mean, legitimately, think about this. This is a hot take on Hot Take Monday. But is there a more talked about rivalry right now in sports than those two? And you made the case last week, Tommy, that, I mean, Caitlin Clark is one of the most popular, if not the most popular athlete in America. I want you to think about this. And I know it's June 17th, so we're not in the midst of football season. We're not in the midst of basketball season. But what are we talking about in terms of rivalry? We're talking about the hatred, the animosity between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And I like it. I personally love it. And I thought, again, some of you have seen this play. Some of you haven't. There was a foul that ended up being upgraded a flagrant one between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. Let's just go back to that play real quick that went down.
Clark, hammer. Three Sky players coming over. At the official is pointing to his head here, and I think they're going to look at this.
So she gets whacked. I'm going to be honest. I've watched basketball a lot of times. Angel's going for the ball and just hits Clark's head. It wasn't a thing. She didn't rear back and try and drill her in the face. She's going for the ball. You look at her eyes, and she's looking up, and she just hits her head. But, of course, everyone's making a big deal about this because it's those two being involved. I didn't think there was anything malicious. She was upgraded to a flagrant one. Whatever, they both talked about it after. We'll get into that in a sec. But guys, this legitimately is the biggest rivalry in sports right now. There is not a more talked about rivalry.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far.
But then
it's
what
not the biggest rivalry in sports.
I don't think
the landscape right now.
Way off.
The like when you think about
what people are talking
and again,
about
in the summer. We have to almost like
where we're at right
put
now.
Put it in context.
Because once football resumes, it's going to be Michigan, Ohio State. It'll be Auburn, Alabama. It'll be a quarterback competition. Then you go to basketball. It'll be Kentucky and Arkansas again.
More people talk about this than the Yankees and Red Sox.
Who do they play for, and what are their records?
The Indiana Fever and the Chicago Sky, they're both under 500. I can't tell you the exact records.
Well, I mean, my point is that the WNBA is trying to become a talking point just on a individual rivalry. That will not last. That will not last. I'm already bored by it. I got to be honest. What happened between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese over the weekend was way, way, way down on my list. That's why I say, to say it's the biggest rivalry in sports, well, how come we weren't watching that instead of the end of the U.S. Open? How come we weren't watching that instead of the College World Series? All we watched is the highlight. The only reason we watched the highlights is because there was a story about how Angel Reese whacked her on the head. This is not the way that they're going to build staying power within the WNBA. This is a little petty fight that they've got going on internally. And you don't build a league by having a bunch of middle-aged men say, hey, man, did you see those girls fighting in that basketball game? That's not how you build a league. And yes, it's a rivalry. I agree it's a rivalry, and it's interesting. They're two, you know, particularly Angel Reese. I mean, she's a dynamic personality. And Caitlin Clark's the face of women's basketball. But they got to do more than just hang their hat on somebody whacking Caitlin Clark and saying, isn't that terrible? That's kind of been the story for the WNBA the last 3 or 4 weeks, and they got to move on from that. But I agree with you, Ty. I don't think it was a play.
I don't. Yeah. Before we move on, I want to say this real quick.
Right.
So you mentioned kind of the middle, trying to get middle-aged men involved, which is the goal of not just that, but to grow the sport. And you grew that by sucking in the male audience. If that had happened like during the course of a male game, it's not that big of a deal because it happens. We almost coddled them to a certain extent. It's like, oh my gosh, look at the ladies, look at them, look at the physicality. It's almost too much. We're almost like, no, it's just basketball. It is an everyday occurrence when we watch male basketball. But anytime it happens on the woman's side of things, it's like, oh my gosh, the dire consequences. Oh my gosh, the craziness.
My point is, this is the only reason we're talking about it. That's the only reason we're talking about it. My guess would be when the overnight television ratings come out later today, that ball game, wherever it was televised, if it was televised, I have no idea. It's going to be near the bottom. It's going to be near the bottom. And I don't know, you know, they've released a lot of figures of late about WNBA lost $50 million last year. And despite the unprecedented popularity of women's basketball, it lost $50 million. So they're going to have to find a way to make the sport, make women's basketball have staying power, not just this rivalry between these two individuals. I just think they got to do more. I think this is going to fade quickly is what I'm saying. Yeah. I guess we'll find out.
So Cal had his father-son camp this weekend, and of course it was Father's Day weekend, so I know a lot of you got to celebrate with your son, your daughter, grandkid, grandcon, whatever the case may be. But guys, evidently this was a huge success this weekend. I don't know if y'all saw the picture. We had a Morning Rush listener that reached out to me and said he had a lot of fun with that. And they announced, I know, some stuff we'll get into in regards to the finalization of the staff that Cal has, but apparently it was a lot of fun. Bud Walton Arena this weekend.
I had some family that took part in that.
Heck yeah.
I think everybody had a great time. From what I understand, Cal was very involved.
Yeah. And just to all those kids getting a chance to see and meet some of the players and talk with Cal, that must have been something that was pretty fun for them this weekend.
What a memory that probably is.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready to give your family the best 4th of July experience yet? USA Fireworks wants to make that happen. Go to hitthatline.com/USAFireworks and enter for your chance to win a $1,000 fireworks show. It's $1,000 wholesale of fireworks worth more than $2,000 retail. Again, hitthatline.com/USAFireworks. The USA Fireworks banging giveaway, courtesy of USA Fireworks, ESPN Arkansas, and hitthatline.com.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at GoPascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
We had a chance to catch up with Isaiah Joe this past Friday. With it being Father's Day weekend, a couple questions were asked about his dad, Derek, including how he was a big part of helping Isaiah get to the NBA.
I feel like whenever you're pushed for so long and, you know, so hard throughout your life, nothing happens as a surprise anymore. Mm-hmm. No matter what you see, you've been through it all. And I think that just kind of helps with not being shocked, you know, no matter the situation that you're in. It just being battle tested. I think that's what it was. I was battle tested at a young age. And so making it to each and every step of the way, nothing surprised me. I was ready for it all and I was ready to take it down.
This is a guy who had, a career best 42%. Three-point shooting for a season with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Got his first official playoff start with them this year. And guys really excelled as a Razorback on and off the court. And I think he was in year four this year, if I remember that right.
I think he's involved in a great situation with Oklahoma City. Chuck, you brought up that youth movement. Not drafted by the Thunder, but to end up there, we were talking before the show, the odds of two guys from the same high school that weren't in the same class to end up at the same college and then to end up on the same NBA team is long odds. And I like the future if they can keep all these guys together.
Yeah, I don't know what people's contract situations will be as they move forward. I mean, there's obviously the business of basketball. You know, there's a business of pro sports, and rosters certainly are not immune from that. I have no idea, how it's going to progress in terms of that organization. But they've got a great collection of players. And they're young and they're talented. And if they can keep SGA and Holmgren continues to progress, I mean, that's a team that, that's a team that can win a lot of games. And they won a lot of games this year. They just weren't quite playoff ready yet. But there's a lot of young talent on that team for sure.
Isaiah has a team option for this upcoming season, hoping Sam Presti and the Oklahoma City Thunder pick him up after what he was able to help the team do this year.
Well, you hope, too, that he can get into the best situation for him.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia, for example, was not the best situation for him. And so I think from the outside looking in, he's in a great spot. You know, but there's always the business of basketball when you get to this level. And I'm just not sure what their plans are in that regard, but he's doing great right now. He just needs to enjoy every second.
You mentioned situation. Daniel Gafford finds himself in a much better situation in Dallas, Texas than he did
out east in Washington and has made the most of it, including a solid game five.
Tatum step back. Shot blocked by Gafford on a three-point attempt, and then a loose ball foul on Tatum.
I say game five, game four, where he had 7 points, couple rebounds, a block that you just heard on Jason Tatum assist. They just demolished the Boston Celtics in game four. Maybe I'm making too much out of it. Maybe they ultimately get eliminated tonight at 7:30. It is my hot take this morning. The Dallas wins tonight and yet loses back in Dallas. And maybe that's more of a hope. I think that's my heart.
Here's my
rather than
take.
My head.
The Celtics win the series.
Oh, wow.
That's my hot take.
That's your hot take. Scalding hot. Scalding hot this
way
morning.
Out on the limb.
Yeah. I just, for Daniel.
That makes as much sense as Ty saying the Mavericks have a chance.
No, it makes more sense.
Chuck, I will say this. If we would have hit the Ty Richardson prop bet during our Fitzman Friday picks on Friday, we won a lot of money. Jordan Walsh ended up playing.
The key word there was if.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did not, none of us, even though I made the prop plus 2,000, Jordan, none of us decided.
And I normally bet all of your opinions. You know, whatever you say, I normally go right with it.
But, you'd be a lot richer if you had, and that wasn't sarcasm coming
Tommy's
from.
Tommy's about to lose his house, man. Mm-hmm. He's been betting your picks all fall and all winter. He's broke.
Know any banks doing a fourth mortgage? You know any of them?
Sterling, I am excited. We were talking about getting closer to football season. I am excited to hear more of Sterling's upcoming football picks. I'm going to guess that Derek.
Sterling's pretty good tout.
Yeah, he was hitting, what, like 60-something percent last time I checked?
Big number.
Yeah. A couple other things. Arkansas's women's track and field team, they're going to celebrate their championship later on today at John McDonald Field at 4 o'clock. Flag 51 is going to be raised, celebrating the 51 national championships between the two programs. Again, we had Chris Johnson on with us last week. Really appreciate Coach giving us some time after they win both the indoor and outdoor. A couple other notes real quick. Football got a couple commits. Keandre Johnson, defensive player out of Texas on the D-line, and then also Jaquinn Madison from Georgia. And then the baseball team, we kind of alluded to this earlier, Chuck. Charles Davalon and Carson Hansen have both committed the Razorbacks. One's from Florida Gulf Coast, one's from Waukee. You look at their stats, a lot of steals, a lot of doubles. These are some guys with some wheels, and kind of like you were talking about earlier, maybe fits into more of the mold that Dave was talking about directly after the season.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about every player on the team. We're talking about, and he talked about it, how we've got to have more balance within the lineup. We got to have some guys who can run to go with the guys who can get it out of the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like these guys fit that mold.
And then finally, the basketball team has announced officially some hires. James Bruiser Flint, Chris Woolard, Lunitha Pryor, Kevin Buddy, Kevin Gallagher, and then I think there's one more that have been officially announced for Cal staff. Kind of knew about some of these prior to, but they've been made official as of this weekend.
Yeah, they've all been working for a while.
Yeah.
They've all been here for a while.
Yeah. Not a lot of breaking news there. I just kind of wonder about the strategy of waiting so long to, I guess, to get around to making it official with a press release.
It's got something
release.
To do with the state calendar and where we are in the fiscal year. I would imagine. I'm just guessing, but I've got to believe it's got something to do with that. I mean, this is contract month. Yeah. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. That is your Hog Update this morning. It is brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
All right, so Father's Day weekend, hopefully everyone had a good Father's Day weekend. I'm kind of surprised, Tommy, you did not play golf. You took in a lot of golf, but is that just
Well, I mean, it's the day for family. We went to the wedding Saturday night, celebrated Derek and Amanda, and then, that was a late night, so I stayed in Northwest Arkansas, and then, wanted to spend time with the kids and the family, and we went over to Laura's parents and watched golf, so I almost wanted to watch golf more so than play golf yesterday, so...
I think most of the playing of golf yesterday was twilight. Everyone watched the U.S. Open, and if they were going to play, they went out and got in a quick nine after it was over.
Yeah, and I went and putted a little bit. Does that count for anything?
Yeah, you said you went with the kiddos a little bit. Have you
putting green?
Got Dylan locked into golf at all? Have you pushed him to that?
Not a bit. And based on the putting performance, we got some work to do.
It's not coming anytime soon. But hopefully everyone had a good Father's Day weekend. I did want to bring this up. Nick Castellanos is always going to be tied to a certain call, the one that I think most people know.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
That will always be funny to me, not what was said prior to, but that specific call. Guys, apparently there is a writer by the name of Tim Kelly, who covers the Philadelphia Phillies. One of his foul balls went up to the press box and broke his laptop. Like, I know you were having a little laptop issues earlier, but the foul ball came up to the press box and shattered his laptop.
You ever had a ball come back to the booth and get in the booth, Chuck?
You know, in all my years of doing that, that never happened.
Yeah.
I had one come into the booth right next to us, but no, it never came into the booth. I wasn't ready, though. Yeah. I was ready to duck.
What did Harry Carey that kept the fishing net? He'd kept the one and he'd try to catch him. So yeah.
That's awesome.
There's a great shot of John Sterling, the Yankees' longtime announcer, foul ball coming back here, and you see it hit the desk and hit him and knock his glasses off.
Yeah, about hit him in the face, yeah. So,
he did, yeah.
That wasn't that long ago, if I remember right.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
So it's hour number three here in the Morning Rush of a Hot Take Monday. And Tommy, I thought you made a good point earlier. I wanted the matchup between Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau to continue. And yet DeChambeau decided, no, I'm going to end it on 18 right here. An incredible finish to a solid event at Pinehurst number two. We're going to talk about that more coming up. Chuck, you used a term during the break, clutch. I think there's something interesting that you found that really illustrates what exactly Bryson was able to accomplish this weekend, specifically on hole 18.
Hot Take Monday brought to you by Wheels RV, 5 miles west of exit 72 off of I-49 in Springdale. It was Father's Day weekend, and we're celebrating fathers and dad all month long with the gift of camping, the gift of the outdoors, the gift of family and friends. Right now, exclusive discounts and bonus offers on the entire inventory, including Brinkley, Grand Design, and Forest River. So make Father's Day one he'll never forget. Wheels RV, 5 miles west of exit 72 off of I-49 in Springdale. Seek, explore, discover with Wheels RV.
This hour of Chuck Barrett on the Morning Rush is presented by Sawyer's, sunrooms, patio covers, pergolas, driveways, and windows, including decorative concrete. 100% financing available. No job too small or large. Everything for the outside of the house.
So I was playing yesterday, really early before the conclusion of Bryson DeChambeau knocking it off and getting the whole thing. I watched a guy hit a chip in off 17 in the hole we were playing that basically won their match.
Chuck, you had found something during the break that just Bryson's shot, how difficult it actually was.
How long the odds really were.
Yeah, what the percentage is on how what he was able to do, man.
There's a guy named Lou Stagner who's a golf data guy. You know, he throws everything into the computer and comes up with the numbers. Golf Digest uses him a lot. And Golf Digest tweeted out the odds of hitting that 55-yard shot within 4 feet. He hit it within 3 feet 11 inches. The odds of hitting it within 4 feet were -1.7%. So one could certainly argue that that's among the greatest clutch shots of all time.
And, you know, it's how that ended up was, I don't know, exactly reminiscent, but it's kind of similar to what happened in 1999. You had a young Phil Mickelson going up against Payne Stewart, another SMU alum. If you remember, a lot of you do, what ended up happening at that final shot.
Stewart is the 1999 U.S. Open champion. Oh, my. What a clutch putt.
So he hits a clutch putt to seal the deal. No playoff at the time. Tommy, you were asking earlier, 99 would have gone into Monday. Yeah. They would have played into Monday. Yeah. This, I guess, would have just moved on to a playoff.
Well, in 2018, mm-hmm. they changed it. It's a two-hole playoff aggregate score. But, yes, the last one I remember, and I think it's the last one that occurred, was Tiger and Rocco Mediate went to an 18-hole playoff. But it was very rare in the most unique way to decide a champion mm-hmm. in sports. But they would not have had an 18-hole playoff had they ended up tied.
You're right.
It'd have been two-hole playoff. Yeah.
And so, again, it concludes. Rory walks off, doesn't speak with the media. And I know he's frustrated about that. You made a good point earlier. You wish you would have had that little box of Rory.
Well, I that's the only thing NBC, I thought NBC's golf coverage is phenomenal, but I wanted to see in real time as Bryson hit the shot out of the bunker, you know, a little box up in the corner with Rory's immediate reaction. I wanted to see that on the putt. And they showed it later. They had the video of it, but mm-hmm. As he was leaning over that table in the scorer's room, but you know, that's what I wanted in that moment. I wanted the side by side almost.
Didn't get it.
That's fine.
Yeah. Then again, that's kind of under the wood. But like the term clutch, like that was a clutch shot or whatever. I kind of wanted to tie that in to the possibility of Dak Prescott signing in with the Dallas Cowboys. We saw, again, Bryson do something that a lot of like golfers can't do.
I want to hear how you're going to tell this to
me. I'm very interested in this segue.
Yeah, you've piqued my interest.
Okay. Here's what I'll say. Like JT in Hot Springs already texting in on the McCarty-Daniel hotline saying Dak is not a franchise quarterback and that he's not clutch or whatever.
Okay.
My thought is in this upcoming season, you don't pay Dak Prescott, you pay CeeDee Lamb, pay Micah Parsons, add some other pieces. They have not spent or done a lot of money this offseason. I think Dallas is like 32nd, in fact, in the NFL. And you just wonder if there's any clutchness to Dak Prescott or if it's a facade, right? Because we see what he does in the regular season. He's really, really good. This is a team that's been at the top of the NFC East or close near the top for the last couple of years. He puts up these unreal numbers. But there are questions that remain to be seen, and rightfully so, if he's clutch. Can he do it in a clutch situation? So far, the answer has been no, and that's why
clutch is the tie-in. The difference is Dak can't do it when you get to playoff time. Bryson DeChambeau's now done it twice in the U.S. mm-hmm. Open, and
when it matters
the most. Mm-hmm. So there's one thing, Chuck, to have the numbers in the regular season in another event or whatever. It's a whole other thing when you go to the biggest events or the biggest moments in your sport. And you come through with the biggest play.
And the reason I bring this up is because Trevor Lawrence got paid $275 million, 142 of it's fully guaranteed, basically making 55 a year. So when that happens, when you see a big quarterback signing, Dallas Cowboy fans and really the NFL media questions, what are Jerry and Steven going to do with their quarterback, Dak Prescott? And he's talked about, we want to get a deal done, blah, blah, blah. It hasn't happened just yet. I don't think you can sign him to a long-term big fat contract. You got to make him play out the year. He's got to show you in these upcoming NFL playoffs, assuming that Dallas makes it, that he has a clutch gene, which he does not, has not shown you in his career, unfortunately.
Wait. I just got to stop all this. Golf's an individual sport. Football's a team sport. There's no comparison. You can't play defense in golf. You don't have guys chasing. Nobody was like bull rushing Bryson DeChambeau before he hit that bunker shot. You can't compare an individual sport with a team sport. Dak can only control what Dak can control. If you're a golfer, you've got the ability to control everything out there. You can't control how the other guy plays, but you can control how you play. So, you know, clutch is a term that is used and maybe overused when it comes to sports. But you can't compare a quarterback in a National Football League environment where you've got 11, 10 other guys on your side and 11 on the other. I don't think that's comparable to an individual playing golf.
Well, Jackie agrees with you. He says no one can be clutch when the defense gives up 30-plus, and I know that has been an issue from time to time in Dallas. I just think there have been segments of the NFL playoffs where Dak, like you, and I agree,
I'm not arguing with your points on Dak. I'm just saying that golf and football are different. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if Dak, I've said many times, I'm not sure Dak's the guy to lead you to the promised land, but I don't know that you can tie it into golf.
You wondered how he was going to tie it all together. Now you know.
Now I know. Hey, let me talk to you about Sawyers for just a second, guys, before we go on. If you've got work, if you've got a project planned outside your home, Sawyer sunrooms. And really, that really doesn't tell the whole story. Our friend Buzz Sawyer's been doing this since about 1990, if I'm right on that. And if it involves the outside of your home, they can do it, whether it's a sunroom, decorative concrete. I like those pavers. They got all kinds of stuff that they can do outside your home. Sawyers-sunrooms.com is the web address. They got good ideas. Sometimes you want to do a project, but you're not sure exactly what you want to do. You need some ideas. They've got them right there. They're insured, they're bonded, and you'll be very happy with what they do. And again, you can check out the work that they've done, learn a little bit more about them. You can log on to Sawyers-sunrooms.com.
Ozark Bob texting in on the McCarty Dana hotline saying that he thinks Jerry Jones will overpay for the coverage. I'm assuming he's talking about Dak Prescott. I am curious if there is a deal.
I want CD Lamb taken care of before we start worrying about Dak.
That combo was lethal this season. Didn't necessarily pan out. It's just difficult because I think San Francisco is head and shoulders more talented than virtually everyone else in the NFC. When they get to the Super Bowl, I don't know if they have the quarterback to necessarily get them over the top, but that roster compared to Dallas is just night and day. And I think we saw it in the playoffs once again for them when it comes to that matchup and whatnot. Omaha, Nebraska.
Well, hey, on that note, shouldn't Micah Parsons also be taken care of with a long-term deal?
Him.
I mean, I'm going to point that out because I think he's set to make like 2 point something this year.
That's it.
And that's the deal he's on. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, players hold out all the time and don't come to camp. Deals are torn up and redone. Chuck, that's a player that as much as anything, you're talking about the defense giving up too much. Micah Parsons has to be a player that Jerry needs to get signed sooner rather than later.
He will. He'll sign him, and C.D. Lamb will get his money. And Jerry will make a decision at some point in time. Are we going to sink or swim with Dak? But, look, the players have the power. And, you know, those of us who are older Cowboy fans, we remember when Emmitt Smith held out, and Jerry towed the line on that, and all of a sudden they were 0-2, and Emmitt Smith got his deal. So those guys will get paid. And you know, they've got a decision to make on Dak, and I'm sure they'll make it.
It says Micah's fifth-year option, Tommy, according to Jackie, is $21 million. Is it 2.1 or 21?
He is slated to make $2.989 million this season, according to Sports Illustrated.
Man, that is about as good a deal as it gets in professional sports.
It's something to talk about in the off season, but they'll pay what they have to pay. I mean, I'm not saying the guys will spend their careers in Dallas, but it won't be because they're not getting paid.
Yeah. So, big event, again, in Pinehurst number 2 with what happened at the U.S. Open. We'll talk more about Bryson DeChambeau coming up, but I do want to talk about what happened in Omaha. We brought up earlier the two Texas A&M fans that were ejected for basically just talking trash about the death of one of Florida's bat boys who was recently murdered by his father. And his brothers, just terrible situation, terrible thing to happen to that baseball program, that family overall. But what's kind of overshadowed during the course of the last couple days is we've had some great games, including A&M advancing past Florida.
The 1-2.
Swing and a miss! The Aggies win it! A robbery to cap what has been a spectacular 2 days in Omaha.
Three straight walk-offs. Did y'all catch the A&M player robbing the Florida hole run? Did you get a chance to see that? I didn't watch it live. I watched it just the highlight.
I saw the highlight later on.
But it was, I mean, guys, there's play after that. That kid in center field for Tennessee caromed in the wall, made a huge play. There's some great highlights so far. Caromed in the wall. Did I say that right? Caromed?
Yeah,
caromed. My bad. Caromed into the wall. And
I didn't get to watch a lot of those Friday night and Saturday games because I watched some of Saturday's stuff waiting on the wedding to start. That's what we had on as everybody's getting ready. But the catch by the center fielder for Kentucky, it made the Sports Center top three or four play of the day. But that's a big league play right there. Fully extended, stretched out, caught the ball. I mean, there's been some big league type defensive plays there.
Well, I thought the catch Hunter Ensley made in center field last night for Tennessee. I mean, I don't know how he didn't run through the wall. I mean, I really don't. And I mean, he left eye black on the wall. I mean, it was unbelievable. And but I mean, an inning later, after the adrenaline wore off, he's woozy, and they got to take him out of the game. I don't think I've ever seen a player hit the wall that hard and hang on to the ball. I've seen guys hit the wall harder and lose the baseball. But, I mean, it was when you watch that thing in real time from that side angle, that wall didn't give an inch.
No.
And he held on to that baseball. I just thought that was really impressive. And, you know, it's a big center field out there. If you can go get it, you can make some great plays in that ballpark.
You guys see the play, I believe it was North Carolina State's center fielder. I just saw the highlight where he, it's like a wide receiver in football, caught it coming over his shoulder.
Right before the wall, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's a very unusual play that you don't
You see great plays in center field in that ballpark. Mm-hmm. Because if you can run and you've got the ability to take the angle, you can make some great plays out there.
Yeah. And if you break wrong at the beginning as the ball comes off the bat, it can be
Well, it's all about angles.
Yeah.
All about angles.
Can beat you.
Yeah. So last night, Tennessee beats in North Carolina, I guess, 6-1. North Carolina on the brink of elimination. Virginia was eliminated last night. Florida plays NC State. Loser goes home. And then A&M plays Kentucky. Tennessee just has a much easier side of the bracket. Unfortunately for Chaz in Fayetteville, who texted in earlier on the McCarty Daniel hotline, hates if Tennessee has a chance to win a national championship before Arkansas. Not to say that they won't encounter turbulence the next week or so, but they sure did themselves a favor by staying on that winner's side of the bracket leading up to this upcoming semifinal.
And well, you think about Florida State losing that game the other night. They got to win four in a row. Now they've won one. Now they've got to beat North Carolina, and then they've got to beat Tennessee twice, and I don't think they can do that. Now, in the other bracket, on the other side, the winner of tonight's game obviously is in the driver's seat. But I tend to think Kentucky and Texas A&M are very, very evenly matched. I could see whoever loses the game tonight, for example, I could see them coming back and winning a game and forcing a deciding game in that bracket. I don't know if anybody's good enough to beat Tennessee twice, but I think Kentucky or A&M's capable of beating one another twice, and it's only one of those teams that I think would have a chance to beat Tennessee twice.
Yeah, ACC so far is 0-3 against SEC competition. The SEC has the upper hand. It would be safe to say, not 100%, but safe to say that an SEC team is probably still going to win this upcoming College World Series, which I guess continues on the streak. I think it was since 2018. You've had three straight West teams that have won. That streak might be under fire considering how Tennessee and Kentucky are playing, but unless something crazy happens, guys, probably still have another SEC national champion.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier about did Bryson win it or did Rory lose it. If Tennessee doesn't go to the finals, they will have lost because, I mean, they are firmly in the driver's seat. And the SEC is firmly in the driver's seat. It would be unusual now, given the way it's gone so far, for the winner of tonight's game and Tennessee not to be the ones that meet for the championship.
And you just think about with the additions, and I'm looking at this from a baseball vantage point because we're in baseball. You think about the additions of Oklahoma and Texas, two teams. I don't know, Oklahoma doesn't have the same tradition-rich baseball program that Texas does.
They were better this year, though.
Yeah, they were in the College World Series final 2 years ago. So maybe something's cooking there. You think about those two teams and the additions, maybe, again, another team or two doesn't make the postseason. But
One of the things, pardon me for interrupting, that you've got to watch in college baseball is what does Texas do with their job? Are they going to fire Pierce? I think they're going to. Is Tony Vitello going to be their number one target? That's the domino that's going to fall. If Texas makes a change, which they'll do, I would imagine, very quickly after the College World Series, who do they target? And is it an established coach? Is it a coach that is in the conference right now? I suspect that they will fire their coach and they will target a coach that is in the league already. I'll be surprised if that doesn't happen, quite honestly.
And that was
they,
good.
Hey, they could go get Jay Johnson at LSU, or at least they could try to.
So we have a baseball-only group text, and there has been some texts that have been tossed around by a person or two that ends up being factual a week or two in advance. And those three names, like you just mentioned, Chuck, have been – and also Schlossnagel. That was the other one. Schlossnagel, Vitello, and Jay Johnson are kind of the names because Texas, we know – as an athletics department, has a good chunk of money and has a good donor base. And their baseball program has had a lot of success, and they want to get back to that. So I like you, I do wonder if they are going to swing for the fences, particularly in this conference. And then you always, Tommy, you always do a good job of explaining, hey, what kind of domino effect does that have with any sport for that matter? Because if one coach gets hired, then a lot of times in the conference, you'll see maybe another assistant or another coach go to that said school. You just kind of wonder
Up the transfer portal window for a time for those particular players. Yep. So, you know, the ripples are bigger and those circles extend out further now than they did 10 or 15 years ago. So, you know, Chuck, it's, you know, we always talk about the people that, you know, are behind the scenes you don't think about or don't know about that lose their jobs and their families moving. But, you know, when a head coach, particularly in football, you know, it affects 500 plus people. Baseball, maybe not as big, but, you know, the ripple effect is huge.
Well, obviously, if Texas makes a change, the transfer portal is going to be affected. There's no doubt about that. I suspect that Texas is prepared to make somebody the highest paid coach in college baseball. I suspect that's what they'll try to do. Now, they may swing for the fences and may end up hiring somebody else. They may get turned down, but I think they're prepared to spend a whole lot of money.
This podcast has been presented by BetOnline.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.